walking over to the marionette maker right now, and it's at a kind of a quiet place, but we're going towards this little marionette of a guitar player, and he's playing the guitar. His fingers are seemingly moving on the neck of the guitar, and his other hand is strumming.
Did you use George as your model?
Yeah. Does it look like little George?
Yeah. I call him Mini George. And there's about 10 people wandering around looking in Marionette Maker, so there's definitely a little window for everyone.
Now we're walking through the Murder of Crows speakers, and they're not on right now, so it's all quiet. But 98 speakers on stands and hanging from the ceiling and sitting on chairs. And then a horn in the center that actually has it's a sequence of three dreams that I recorded when we were in Kathmandu for 6 months. And right from my bedside, I record these dreams. And so that sort of creates a little bit of a sort of a central theme to the 30-minute soundtrack. We wanted to create a soundtrack that was like a film with no visuals.
We're entering into escape room now. This definitely has had its walls insulated.
And this room is quiet if no one's moving around. And it's a whole bunch of different buildings and dioramas and everything. But as soon as you start moving, like that's a recording of a castrata from, I don't know what,
1902.
Yeah. The last castrata.
The last castrata.
And then it's from a tiny little speakers inside this kind of cathedral structure made out of just refuse of wood from our studio.
So this room is filled with sensors. They're laser sensors, and they basically track any motion. And as people wander through the space, different soundtracks are triggered. So Janet's just triggering those right now as she walks past. And then she'll trigger some music over here. And then so we'll go over to the large models. We're going to make a lot of noise as we go through. You could just wander through.
Enters the empty hallway. One of the offices has a light on. He opens the door slowly and enters the room. Person at the desk watches him.
So there's always snippets of narrative around.
We know there's been a fight.
We see this piece as sort of a room where artists work and where they worked, and then they sort of just left it. But it's like they're creating worlds, and that's what we were doing during COVID. We actually had a great time because we were able to work in the studio lots. Most of our shows were canceled or delayed. So we just start making these things in the studio. There's a sandcastle here that has a disco at the top. Yes. And all those flashing lights. And it's kind of based on Gulf War or something. It's got little soldiers in the sand and military tanks. And then this is a futuristic city just made from all sorts of plastic objects that I found at, churches or thrift stores. And it looks like complete futurist cities. It's just with it, we put lights inside them. And so this is some of the drone music George was working on during COVID. He works with guitar, and he's made sort of an album of a different kind of drone music. And then this is an old factory. It looks like it's sort of inspired by Chernobyl. It's a complete factory that's in decay, and the trees are growing up through it, and there's a canal through the center that's filled with all sorts of debris. But it's sitting on a table where you can see, artists have been working here. There's paint, excess paint, there's rags, there's dried out brushes, there's tools of making everywhere.
Just a collage of stuff. A mess of glue and sticks. It's like a mass of chaos. See the box. There it is, after all these years. When there's blue light on the factory, it looks like winter, and that the metal is covered in ice. It's like the type of frozen surface that when you touch your fingers to it, they stick. It's never been.
So then, when you move away, the sound goes off, so that people sort of figure out where they're standing, that what they're creating, what they're not creating. And no, if you look in the buildings, some of the buildings, there's tiny little beds, tiny little offices. There's even a full-scale replica of Motet, the 40 speakers.
That's
there.
That's amazing.
Tiny little speakers that have fallen down. It looks like a flood went through the gallery. But there's all these empty buildings. There's no people. But the lights are all left on. It's like everybody just left.
There's a person underneath that.
There might be one person dead. Sorry.
This is your COVID project, so I think it's reasonable to talk about the emptiness and the isolation that happens
exactly.
When people have to desert whatever it is their everyday life was.
Yeah, I think that definitely comes out. A lot of times we have a sort of conceptual base to what we're making and we think about, but then we're never very direct about it. So yeah, I love when people like you just saying that, it creates meaning for the work.
What's nice in there is if when you're in escape room on your own, you really see what you're triggering. I mean, what happens if there's 10 people in there is the sound just becomes overwhelming, which is kind of interesting in itself, but everybody's triggering everything then. So it's really nice if you go in with one or two people. So it's nice having it here in Enderby because our numbers aren't, you know, like it would be in a museum in New York or something, and where you don't really see the piece very well. Okay, so Murder of Crows is about to start.
Like we were told, this museum we visited that we're having a big show at in 2 years, that said, yeah, they sometimes get 1,200 people a day. And I'm going, what? How are we going to cope with our work doing that? So we have to. So it's all that kind of figuring out the logistics of shows. And oh yeah, there's another one over here. There's two little side galleries. One was escape room and one's what's called killing machine.
My kids remember the killing machine.
Yeah.
It's a pretty intense piece.
It's also fun though, right?
Killing machine's playing, so yeah. Should we just listen to a little bit and then we can talk about it in the hallway?
Yeah.
Killing machine, there's these two robots that are made out of kind of this strange
look, a bit like the Terminator,
bird like they're not like the Terminator. I mean, it has
they're like dancers, or like,
yeah,
you said, like bird like
they're just robot arms really, but they end up attacking this chair, a dental chair, so people with dental of chair nightmares may not want to go in there.
The chair is covered with pink fun fur, and there's a disco ball overhead. And it was made during the time of Abu Ghraib torture images that were going around the world and thinking about how torture became such a spectacle. So we want to sort of comment on that, as well as one of my favorite writers, and we were both reading him at the time, is Franz Kafka. And Kafka wrote this book full of short stories, and one of them is In the Penal Colony. And it's a story about how bureaucratic torture can become. This bureaucrat comes to make sure this machine is working, and the machine is where the figure lies down on a bed, and the machine writes the sins that you're charged with onto your body until you die. It's a really dark story, and he's a German writer from, I think, the 40s, 1940s.
I think it was written in 1914, actually.
1914.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, it could be.
Anyways, it's pretty dark, but very, what's the word?
Relevant.
Relevant, yeah, exactly.
Relevant to any age that we sort of are encountering these days.
Are you finding that you are influenced in your production work by current events?
Oh, yeah.
Especially worldwide, because you travel extensively?
Well, like this piece that's just starting now, it's called The Murder of Crows, and it was done during the Gulf War, like started in the early 2000s. And there's at one point a Russian choir that we recorded individually, each singer, and they march through the space, and they're singing the Sacred War, which was to inspire troops against fascism. But the irony is the Ukrainians, it was their song too, because a lot of times their first language was Russian. And it was showing in Madrid just as the Ukrainian-Russian war started. And so it had a whole new context to it. And that's what I find. Art changes because we change. So the sound in Murder of Crows is done a lot with surround sound, as well as it's done with specific, there's sounds of wind, and there's sounds of symphonies, and each individual violin is recorded separately. Oh, and now we're coming into the second space that has the 40-part motet is playing right now. The composition, the 13-minute composition, 12-minute composition, and that was when all the singers were singing, and it's a very emotional ending. So then you can hear the piece called Storm Room is starting, and the lights come on at the end of the gallery, so then you go, oh, there must be a piece down there starting. You start seeing lightning, there's lightning flashes, the lights sort of flickering as if, you know, it's in an electrical storm.
How did Storm Room come to your imagination?
We were doing a piece in Japan, and we were invited to this particular area that had a lot of rain and a lot of snow in the wintertime. Then they were showing me different sites, and they showed me into this one big old house, you know, a Japanese-style house, and it had a dentist office in it, and it had windows that were like window boxes, and it was raining, and I just had a moment of this, why don't we create rain, a storm room upstairs in this, so that the audience just comes in and experiences in this one particular room, it's raining and there's a storm on.
So when we were building it in our studio, we realized that, because we had to make everything for the Japanese house in Canada here.
We have to figure it out.
We basically built a recreation of the room. And then we realized, oh, this could be a piece that you could show in a museum. You don't have to just show it in the house. So this is like, inside of Storm Room is a recreation of the Japanese room it originally showed in. If you're about 6 feet, you have to really watch your head, because it's a Japanese doorway. And everything is exactly as it was in Doichi, which was the small town that the house was in.
And then there's pillows on the floor. So when we discover that it's kind of an interesting piece on its own, it's like a stage set. So then we made it into an addition, and it's on a full-time display in a museum in Denmark because they own that one of the edition. And then we have this one, which is our artist proof.
And it uses actual water, so yeah. That's tricky. You guys are amazing to contain water.
Through a lot of trial and error.
It never leaked, luckily. I mean, it leaked in Japan, but the building was condemned, so it didn't matter. But when we first showed this version of it in Edmonton Art Gallery, and they had, what did they have? They had a show of Goya's etchings below it, and I was pretty worried about it. I don't know how many gallons of water. So there's two water systems as well, because there's the rain on the windows water system, and then we have actual rain dripping into the piece, into buckets. And I love that moment when people realize that there's water, and or they just think, oh, is it making, do they have a speaker in there? And they put their head up, and then they get wet on the back of their head when they're looking in the buckets.
A true experience.
Lights flickering, it's like the power's going because the water's getting into the power circuits or whatever. So the fluorescent lights go on and off, and then the outer lights go off. And then that's when that's the fluorescence flickering out. And then it gets quite dark, and then the real storm comes in. And the fan comes on to give you the feeling that it's just approaching, so it's a 10-minute loop. Storm comes and goes over 10 minutes. Here's the fan coming on now to blow air around to make you feel cool.
Well, before the storm gets too intense, we're gonna exit out.
It starts to play after Storm Room. You can push the button and play it out after Storm Room's finished.
My
father died.
And
my sleep.
And how about that? Money.
Companion of dangerous moods.
Look right now.
That's what I was.
Landlord, so by and large, as you say, the reap.
For Chantal Cloutier.
We thirst. A song comes to
from the path of loneliness.
Never let me get
to the
here.
Place of song. Slipping down in the
tarry there between us.
Yes, this is a piece that was done for a show about Leonard Cohen in Montreal. It was started when Cohen was still alive. We had this idea that we wanted to create an organ that would play back some of his poetry. And we were thinking some of his early poetry, that each key is a particular poem. But then we couldn't find a lot of his earlier poetry that was recorded well. And then we thought, well, we'll ask the curators to ask him if he would record some. And then he passed away. So then we thought, oh, well, this piece is no good. And then his estate manager came to us and said, well, we do have these recordings that haven't been published yet, and there was, at the time, the last book of poems that had been published called The Book of Longing. And so you can come in and sit down and play, and each key is a separate poem. And you can listen to the whole poem, or you can move on and you can make different poems with one line from here, one line from there, and we call it, yeah, the Poetry Maker.
It's spectacular.
George has always been a fan of Leonard Cohen. He introduced me to him when I was doing my master's, and I didn't really know his work, but then, you know, I just love a narrative singer like he is, as well as his poetry is phenomenal. And working on this piece and being able to put in all these poems and listen to them so thoroughly, it's really a piece close to my heart.
And anybody that's a Leonard Cohen fan, they just go crazy.
Well, I was just thinking, people would travel far and wide to get a little piece of Leonard Cohen, right?
There's a piece right here called Conversations with My Mother, and it's an old cabinet with, I think there's about 8 different telephone receivers hanging down from old dial-up telephones. As a viewer, you pick up a telephone, you hear a snippet of conversation that I've had with my mother over the last 5-6 years. Just, you know, calling up, talking about this and that, me asking her questions about, you know, early life and child life and this and whatever. And she's 92, turning 93. And, you know, I hope she's around for another 10 years, but you just never know, right? And she still lives on her own in the farmhouse where the 6 kids, we all grew up. And my dad's passed away, so it was kind of nice to have conversations with her about her relationship with dad and stuff like that. But I think people who've lost their mothers or whose mothers now have dementia, and they come in and they just go, oh my God, you know, I wish I'd done this with my mother.
This is why all of your storytelling skills are so exceptional. People are relating to the work. You don't need to have a degree in arts to relate to this work.
No, it's very true. You don't need a manual, or you don't need a bunch of writing to tell you what you're supposed to think. And then one piece right at the entranceway to the museum is a 1997 tiny little cinema that we made. And inside the cinema is sort of a model of a little theater. And there's a theater screen. It's called the Muriel Lake Incident. George grew up in the summertime on Muriel Lake. His family would go there for holidays. And so we went there and we sort of did a lot of shooting on video, and we created our own little film. We were invited into the Istanbul Biennale, which means a big art show in Istanbul in 1997. So we worked with, basically, I think it's an Armenian composer, but a piece of music that was prevalent there for the exhibition. You pick up headphones and you listen to it, and it's recorded, the sound of people in a theater and my voice talking to them, as well as you hear in three-dimensional. Binaural is basically hearing with two ears. So you hear this sort of three-dimensional soundtrack of someone sitting next to you eating popcorn, and then it's like a film within a film. At the end of it, there's a scene that's a little, you know, it's very filmic. It's very film noir. You know, of course, there's a gunshot and stuff like that. So it's a fun piece.
This has been an incredible tour. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this, because, you know, finding out all the little secrets and the stories behind the scenes is really valuable for us. And thank you again for creating this really beautiful contemporary space in the Shoe Swap.
Thank you. So I hope everybody comes to Enderby. And we're just check online on our website, Cardiff Miller Art Warehouse, for opening times, because in the summer it's Thursday to Sunday, and in the winter it's Saturday and Sunday, and then the shoulder seasons were sort of sometimes Friday to Sunday.
And sometimes there's some pretty amazing events happening in here too.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Tracy.